Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Stop being stupid, people.
All bets are off.
You all suck.
I'm Morenci Unfiltered.
Scumbags!
Get on the grid, sports grid. I am Morenci. This is Morenci Unfiltered, the podcast. And I know many of you have been enjoying the podcast. We enjoy doing the podcast. We enjoy the loose format and just talking to different people, and sometimes just going on a tangent. We'll do a little bit of both on today's podcast. Let's bring in Mr. Mike Blewett right now. As the breaking news, and my phone just went off, and I don't know. I never signed up for ESPN alerts, so I don't know why I have this. To be honest. I don't know. Like, I went on there, I guess, I don't know. Like, I don't recall ever installing ESPN alerts, but my phone goes off like 25 times a day. Dan-an-an, dan-an-an. And last week, it was actually like big news. It was like, dan-an-an, all right, Big Ten canceled. Dan-an-an, dan-an-an, March Madness. There would actually be big news, but they're kind of stretching now. I get alerts like about tennis rankings and stuff now, Mike.
Yeah. You're cricket alerts and that kind of stuff. So, you probably got automatically opted in. You know, you have to opt out in order to
alert.
But we lucked out last week. We had breaking news of Tom Brady's departure last week, right in the middle of the pod. And today we have another one, right?
Yeah. But it was kind of anticlimactic. Dan. I was like, oh, Jameis Winston, come on. Like, I picked the phone up. I was like, give me something. Cam Newton released by Panthers. I'm like, I already knew that. You know what I mean? We already knew that, but I guess it's official. Like Cam Newton can like sign anywhere right now. Like, he's officially a free agent.
Yeah. So, but the interesting thing is, and we started to talk about this last week, when the musical chairs stop, there aren't going to be enough chairs to seat everybody, right? So,
yep.
Is Cam really the guy? And he alluded to this in the past, although I haven't heard it recently. Like, he's not going to go be a backup somewhere. And that from his standpoint, I don't think he wants to go to a place where an uphill battle to claim that starting job. Do you know what I mean?
No, it's going to have to be, you know, if he's not automatically the starting quarterback, there's going to have to be a good reason and a motive down the road. Yet he doesn't really have a ton of options right now. I don't know what he's looking for monetarily, but I'm sure, you know, his reality and the real reality are really, really two different things right now. And listen, I'm a pro Cam Newton guy. Like, I like Cam Newton. A healthy Cam Newton could be my quarterback, like, pretty much over a lot of guys, I'll tell you. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of guys. Yet the problem is he's not healthy. And I think this is a good analogy. He's like a major league, he's like a fastball pitcher. You know what I mean? He was like a pitcher that was like a phenom that freaking threw heat. He was massive dude on the mound, scared the hell out of everybody. Except he never really, like, he doesn't really know how to pitch. And now he doesn't have the velocity anymore. Like, wouldn't you say that's a good comparison? He's like a pitcher that's a fastball pitcher that doesn't have velocity. And
He's not Greg Maddux. He doesn't have other stuff. You know what I mean? Like he's a mobile guy that's not mobile anymore. You can't run. If you run, bro, you're going to get hurt. You know, you've got a bad shoulder. You've got bad knees. Like you've had multiple surgeries in different parts of your body. You've been beat up more than most quarterbacks have. And it's not like anything negative against him. I don't think he's a bad guy. I don't think any of this. I just think he's not the same quarterback. He was never accurate, even in the best of times, Mike, right? He used to he'd have a cannon, but he'd just zing it. And, you know what I mean? It would be 5 yards high, wide, whatever. And he's never been that guy. So now at this age, he's kind of in a tough spot. I feel bad for him because, you know, he still has something in him, but it's just the body doesn't, it seems.
Yeah, when he was the MVP of the league, he wasn't completing 60% of his passes. And to your point, can he adjust and become what CC Sabathia came to continue the baseball analogy, where best stuff, but figuring out how to become a craftier pitcher and be that guy. Now, what complicates this as well, and we're seeing this with the softer Jadeveon Clowney market as well, is that when players are coming off of injuries, particularly surgeries, as is the case with Clowney and Cam Newton, and they can't get in front of a team-approved doctor, it is going to complicate things a lot.
Good point.
So I don't know how healthy Cam is or isn't. You and I can say from afar, he's been run down. And by the way, people to tell you how many times Andrew Luck got hit over the course of his career, Cam Newton was significantly more than Andrew Luck. So despite his size and arguably being the greatest specimen ever to play QB, he's worn down. And I don't think it's over. It doesn't mean that he can't play and even start. But how can you trust that unless you have a team-approved doctor? He's in the checking out his shoulder, checking out his ankle, his foot, which, you know, a foot injury for a 6'5", 250-pound football player is a big deal.
Yeah, all good points. And, you know, I heard, I think it was Schefter was stating that there are teams that want to talk to him, but it's a challenge right now, right? Yeah. Like that it's a challenge to meet. It's a challenge. Like you can't get a doctor. You're not like there's no physicals going on now. Like, you know, so, you know, the Brady physical was interesting. I heard it was in New York. Like he couldn't go.
They agreed to a doctor.
Yeah. They basically said, all right, you go see a doctor. Exactly. And we'll take the word for it. Basically. So you can't do that with Cam Newton. You know what I mean? Imagine right now, like on the phone, how you feeling, Cam? I feel great. Yeah. How's the arm? Great, sir. What the hell is he going to tell you on the phone?
Yeah,
you
know
what
I mean? It's awesome. Never been better.
Yeah. No, I'm dead serious. I feel great. Like, it'd be like, listen, you're going to have to agree. Like, and it's cold world, but even I become that NFL jerk where it's like, listen, Cam, I hate to do this to you, bro, but we got to poke and prod you like an alien here, bro. Like an alien with an abductee. You know what I'm saying? Like, tell him. Like, if I was a GM, I'd just even lie. I'd say, listen, I love you, and I want to do this, but my owner's up my ass here, and I got to have a physical with you, Cam. Like, I got to have a doctor poke your knee, and I got to see some x-rays. And, like, you know what I mean? I got to see, like, really where you're at here. And I think he is, but the thing is, once he gets hit again, that's my problem, right? Like, that's the issue with him. And you raise a good point as well. So you have the physical stuff, and that's a challenge, but, you know, whatever. And Cam Newton will get a job, but you have a good point as far as Clowney, as Cam Newton. And you mentioned it earlier, Cam Newton's not a backup. He's a superstar. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He's not just another guy. Like people always like, and I was a pro Kaepernick guy, but people would use that argument. How the hell does EJ Manuel? Well, EJ Manuel is a backup on the Raiders. How come Colin Kaepernick can't be in the NFL? Because EJ Manuel keeps his mouth shut and accepted $950,000 to be the backup.
That's right.
Right? Like That's he right. was just yeah. like, yes, I'm glad to be here. Thank you. Give me my check. Colin Kaepernick wants $12 million, $15 million. Like, it's different. Their egos. Like basically, even Carolina, you couldn't have Cam Newton in the room anymore. Keekly's gone. Rivera's gone. Olsen's gone. It's a new coach. It's a new attitude. You can't.
It's a new culture altogether.
Yes, you can't have Cam rolling his eyes. Yeah, Cam's going to roll his eyes at you.
Rivera, came in at exactly the same time. That was his very first draft pick, was Carolina taking Cam number one overall right when Rivera became head coach.
It seems to me that's the spot for him.
It is the spot for him, I think. It's the only place he would go where he could handle maybe not being the starter for a period of time and maybe bringing Haskins along. Hell, it could be a one-year deal, Gabe, and he's coming in there rehabbing further.
They don't love Haskins. Snyder loves Haskins. Haskins is incredibly raw, right?
Yes.
They could tell Haskins, listen, Rivera could tell him, listen, kid, I like you, but I'll be honest with you. You were thrown to the Wolves too quickly, all right? Mm-hmm. You were thrown to the Wolves too quickly, and it's for your best. And you tell him, listen, Cam only has a year left in him, bro. Like, you know what I mean? You sort of like straight up. You tell him, we're signing Cam to a one-year deal. We're going to make Cam the starting quarterback. We're going to let you two battle coming into camp here. If you don't win, don't be discouraged. It's part of the process here. Like, you know, it was kind of a shit show last year. You got thrown in here in a weird way. This is for the betterment of you. This is for the betterment. I don't know if they feel that way. And I don't know if Snyder feels that way. But it seems to me, and even like you stated, even if they tell, Rivera tells Cam, listen, Cam, you don't have a ton of options. I want you here. Snyder will do it. But Haskins is the starter. I think Cam might accept that. And think, you know what? Yeah, he's the starter, but he's going to get hurt. He won't play well. They're going to call for me, right? Look at Ryan Tannehill, man.
100%.
People laughed at Ryan Tannehill last year, and everyone laughed at Tennessee. Well, no one's laughing now. Mariota ain't laughing now. Tannehill just got a big contract. Mariota got $7.5 million, right? Like, things change in the NFL, guys. Like you said earlier, Jameis Winston's story's not done, all right? Like, he's an interesting one, too. But we're just talking Cam Newton right now. I think the Redskins make the most sense, but you know the NFL isn't always sense. These are the current odds as we speak right now. Miami Dolphins plus 200. Jacksonville Jaguars plus 250. LA Chargers plus 350. Patriots 5-1. Broncos 750. I'm not buying the Broncos. Redskins 750 seems like value. Raiders 12-1, and I wanted to get to your Steelers, but we'll do this in a couple of minutes. I don't think Cam Newton's the fit, but what about Jameis Winston with the Steelers? If you tell him, listen, chill out for a year, and you're the future quarterback, but I know we're reaching a little bit. But the Steelers are on the list for Cam Newton at 20-1. As a betting man, it seems like the Redskins at plus 750 are the best bet here.
I'm with you on Cam Newton. There's really three teams with relatively unsettled QB rooms right now, right? I'm not counting the Bengals because they're probably taking Joe Burrow. So it's the Dolphins, it's the Chargers, it's the Patriots. The Patriots have virtually no money left.
So is Ryan Fitzpatrick not under contract at all?
I believe
under the impression, I could be wrong.
I think he re-signed the deal.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I think like they gave him a thing like, hey, you'll be back next year.
I'm pretty sure he's already signed like a 1 year with them to come back. And that's why he was like pro CBA. I'm seeing right now, I'm looking it up on Over the Cap right now. I think Fitz got a 1 year with them, but I'm not positive. I have to look at it. It says 2020 right here, $8 million base salary, guaranteed $4 million. So I think that's where he's at right now.
No, he's under contract. Exactly. So it sort of flew under the radar. Like, you know, it's Ryan Fitzpatrick. Because everyone keeps talking about this and that with the Dolphins. And I just wanted to clarify that. Yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick's on the team still. And it's only $8 million. So are they bringing in a Jameis Winston or a Cam Newton type when they have Fitzpatrick there? Like, you, to me, they signed Fitzpatrick for this $8 million to draft a quarterback.
I agree. So that's what I'm saying. Regarding the Dolphins, they have the money to do it. And I'm not saying, first of all, none of these would with Cam. It would have to take something extraordinary, like an injury, for him to get a bigger deal than he would otherwise get. So I'm saying bring him in on a one-year deal. And the Dolphins have torn everything down to the studs to try to create this culture underneath Brian Flores, in much in the same way that Matt Rhule is doing it in Carolina.
Cam Newton's not that
to build up. So the Chargers would really be the only landing spot to battle it out with Tyrod Taylor. I don't think that they'll probably draft somebody. I don't think they're going in there with just Tyrod Taylor and figure out another free agent. They're going to draft somebody. And I could see them bringing in Cam Newton if he and Anthony Lynn could get on the same page. But right now, if you're asking me where, I think it ends up being Washington. The Chargers would really be the only other option that I could see.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell the Chargers are doing. I get, you know.
Really confusing.
Yeah, if the Chargers are just looking to rebuild, if, you know, we've talked about it in the past, guys. I brought it up time and time again. We're talking about Los Angeles, California, man. It's Hollywood. Like, yeah. Even to
it's not a rebuilding roster, though. Okay.
That's the thing. That's what I don't understand. And I'm telling you, like, Tua is good, but he's not going to sell tickets for them. Like, he's not – it won't matter in L.A. Like, it's not big enough just to bring in some kid and hope for the best. Now, one thing we will state, teams have had success with young quarterbacks. So I don't know if they're thinking, you know what, Tua's that smart, he's a winner, you know, he'll sort of be an upgrade right away. I don't get what they're doing. Me personally, I would be all over Jameis Winston if I was the Chargers. I don't know what they're hesitating. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know, like, basically, I don't get it. And you know, we can get into Winston in a minute here, but I just don't get it. I totally understand the Cam Newton thing. I'd bring him in. Like, you got to ask yourself, all right, Tua, is Justin Herbert a franchise saver? I don't think he is. Like, he's good.
No.
You know what I mean? But he's a weird fit for the Chargers and where they are now. Like, if I was the Chargers, I'd just keep it rolling. You had, like, Phillip Rivers, who threw a ton of picks. Bring Winston in, who throws a couple of picks, but actually throws for 5 touchdowns, too. Right? Like, their offense will be better. Like, I don't get it. I don't get why what the Chargers are doing.
If you're the Chargers, though, here's the thing. Is Jameis looking for that multi-year deal? And would you rather have Cam a 1-year deal or have to commit to Jameis for a couple?
I think that's the thing. That Jameis is going to have to obviously. I mean, we're not going out on a limb saying this. That a lot like Melvin Gordon, like Jameis Winston was expecting like $35 million a year type thing.
He's out of chairs, dude. He's got no options.
Yeah,
he's got no options. The Dolphins aren't doing it. No way. Not Jameis.
No. So now. Listen, we're still early in this process, right? So everyone's sort of freaking out. We're very early into this. I mean, free agency just started, and there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of stuff left. We have a draft coming up. There's trades in the draft, and then specifically training camps. Well, you know, in a unique situation with training camps this year, we'll see. But what I'm saying is someone's going to get hurt. There's going to be chaos. You know what I'm saying? Like right now between Dalton, Newton, and Winston, they're going to have to play the waiting game. Dalton's just going to have to accept to be a backup somewhere, right? Someone's going to get hurt, and Dalton will be the easiest one to sign. It's kind of like you said earlier, Mike. The bigger star you are, the harder it is to find a spot. You know what I mean? Like Andy Dalton's just another guy. It'd be like, all right, we need a QB. Dalton will take $8 million, and you know, he'll come in. He won't rock the boat.
Yeah.
It's like you bring in Jameis Winston. It's like you're bringing in Jameis Winston, like, right? Like there's baggage.
The he's a star.
He's a media. There's ESPN around him. Like it changes everything. He's not just another guy. He's not one of the guys. Like that's the thing. So it's harder. That's like in baseball when you see these mega stars, they always get flipped out. Like Bryce Harper thought he was going to have a million options and he really didn't. Because teams are like, he's a big ego. It's a lot of money. And like, all right, get on the grid. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with Mike Blewett.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Get on the Grid Sports Grid, Morenci Unfiltered. I am Morenci. We're kicking it with Mike Blewett on today's podcast. We're talking NFL football and more, but we're focusing in on the quarterbacks right now. And, you know, we're sharing the odds as of this taping right now for Cam Newton. Cam Newton, of course, just released earlier in the day. And so one good thing about this podcast, too, Mike, it's a challenge. As we know right now, not being in the studio and not doing live programming, you know, to talk about things and then it airs the next day right on TV. I've dealt with this challenge before. When I lived in Vegas, actually, I had to do it because of the time difference and same thing to upload shows. I actually did shows a day in advance for like 2 years. So I sort of got used to it. People in the sports betting business sort of deal with it. You know, in the fantasy business too, Mike, you know what I mean? Like, you know, when you have to, you know, do your fantasy picks or write a fantasy column earlier in the week, like you have to give picks oftentimes, you know, like I do videos for FanDuel on Thursdays for Sunday's NFL sometimes. I don't like it. I'm like, man, the game's in 3 days. I don't know, but I got to do the picks and the video airs a couple of days later. You got to live with it.
Yeah. I mean, I think everybody has to understand that. And sometimes you're going to have to look, you want to be first with the content, right? And have it still be accurate.
But that's what I was going to say. So, it's good about the podcast. It gets out fast. Like the podcast is pretty quick. Like it's up pretty much like yesterday, the podcast was up like an hour after it was recorded, which is cool.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, you know, we're relevant topics, but as you said, I think those of us, in the sort of sports betting community and putting out sports betting and sports wagering content, understand that there's always going to be line fluctuations. Anybody that's a sharp bettor is clearly aware of that. And even people that have some knowledge set related to sports wagering understand that the guy on the screen is just giving you his rationale. And if you're wise, as you are, you couch it a little bit if you understand that you're in favor of a bet at, say, -3, but you wouldn't be in favor of it if it moved to -5.
Well, I'll
so
tell
you
what.
You have to understand. Yeah.
But Cam Newton's not signing today. You know what I'm saying? That's another thing that I'm pretty good at knowing. Like, Cam Newton's not signing. Neither is Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston's not going to sign a contract in the next 24 hours, guys.
Sure.
Right? Like, the chips need to fall right now. So I brought up the Steelers. It's funny. I brought up the Steelers the other day to Cam with Jameis Winston. I caught him off guard with it. He was like, I never really thought about that. And I said, I don't know. You know, Mike Tomlin, he's dealt with, like, you know, he's dealt with Lev Bell and Antonio Brown, larger-than-life personalities. Ben Roethlisberger, like, they've really never – they've tried. You're a Steeler fan. So I just say, look, you've tried – to sort of get the quarterback of the future a couple of times. It hasn't worked. You know what I mean? Like Landry Jones wasn't very good. Mason Rudolph's not your guy. Dobbs wasn't the guy. Like you go down the list. They never really had that guy where with Jameis Winston, I don't think it happens, but where they say, listen, Roethlisberger's only got a year left or something. You know, the guy's beat up. We want you to be here. I wouldn't mind having you as my quarterback of the future. And I'm just saying, the other day I brought it up, it was 14 to 1. It's 10 to 1 now as we talk.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually come down.
Yep. There's been talk certainly about it on various networks. The interesting thing for me about it is that when he was coming out of FSU, I thought that his best comp was Roethlisberger. I thought physically they're a similar size. Ben's actually a little bit bigger.
Yeah, it's actually good. It is a good compare. You're right.
But I thought the style in which they played, where there's some athleticism there and an ability to make a second play there that lives in both of them, clearly at a really elite level with Roethlisberger, but they're not running on a regular basis.
No, they're lumbers.
They're not considered mobile quarterbacks.
Yeah, lumbers. Yeah.
Unfortunately, it did translate to off the field.
And they both made
well.
The same decisions. Exactly. Right. And I couldn't help the cheap joke, but I saw Ben and his beard doing the social distancing thing. Yeah. And I'm thinking, bro, you're the last person who should be talking about social distancing. Like,
yeah.
I couldn't help but like think that, right? It's a good
That's
point.
Fair.
It's a good point. But on the field, Ben makes better decisions.
Yeah. Yeah. But when he was younger, he didn't. His touchdown interception ratios were brutal, really, for the first 5 years of his career, despite the fact that he won the two Super Bowls. The Steelers' issue with bringing Jameis in is that they are perpetually capped out, right? And they have been at a big number through this year, and even next year, it would be a huge cap issue for them.
And there's no room for both those egos with Ben and Jameis.
Yeah, and the Steelers are very culture focused, obviously, right? They had to jettison Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown because it was destroying the culture to some extent. And Jameis isn't going to sign a long-term deal, A, on the cheap, or B, as a backup.
No, but let
He's
me
going
ask you
in
that.
In a Teddy Bridgewater situation where he can rehab his image. Teddy was more physical. Jameis would be more his image, and then try to get another deal. But Teddy Bridgewater stayed in New Orleans for an extra season, right?
All right, let's say hypothetically, though, let's say Jameis Winston signs a 1-2 year deal somewhere, Ben lasts a year or something.
Yeah.
Is it crazy to think that Jameis Winston signs with the Steelers then if Ben wasn't there? That Tomlin wouldn't say, you know what, I like Jameis Winston, he could be my quarterback? And you mentioned it, a lot of similarities football-wise between him and Ben.
Yeah.
Like your system doesn't change at all.
Certainly. I start to think, too, at times, though, Steelers fan, and knowing the way in which they've gone through coaches, right? We saw Chuck, he coached for 20 years solid.
They've only had three coaches.
Retired a relatively young man. You brought Bill Cowher in. He coached for 14, 15 years straight, retired a young man. Mike Tomlin's been here since 2000. Does he take it through 2021, let's just say, with Ben? And he's coach of the Steelers for 16 years. He walks away in his late 40s. He looks like he can coach forever, but you and I about Bill Cowher, too. So I was just thinking about regime changes as well. And Jameis wouldn't be the first guy that I would think about for the Steelers, even though it does conceivably line up. I think they might look for a young guy.
They've only had, I was going to say, they haven't had a lot of black quarterbacks, the Pittsburgh Steelers, over the years. Cordell
Mike
Stewart.
Mike was there. Cordell was there. Byron Leftwich was a backup there.
Yeah, they've it had hasn't... so – yeah. In the Tomlin era, backups, right? Sort of. Yeah. He signed guys. Charlie Batch.
That's
true. No, I'm not saying they're like – I'm not saying it's like, no, they won't have them. I'm just stating. I was just thinking, like, when was the last time, like, a brother was the face of the Steelers type of thing? You know what I mean? And it was Cordell Stewart.
As a regular starter, it's all the way back to Cordell. I mean, Ben's been the quarterback for 16 seasons. So
yeah, it's pretty. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's been a hell of a run. Hell of a run for Ben Roethlisberger. So we have the draft coming up, and me and Cam talk about this on Game Time Decisions. And, you know, a lot of times stuff gets tossed around kind of loosely about, you know, how good things are. But this wide receiver class, listen, in my lifetime, like, you know, we don't know. We'll see, you know, which one of these kids turns out to be, you know, NFL Hall of Famers or NFL Pro Bowlers, et cetera. But there's never been a wide receiver class like deep like this, Mike. Like seriously, like there's literally like 12 wide receivers, and I watch a lot of college football, as you know. There's literally like 12 wide receivers that you're like, damn, this guy, like, is really good. Like, this guy could be a star in the NFL, and he's like a fourth-round pick this year.
Yeah, yeah. And I think what is something that's important to note is, look, I, you and I both think Judy and CeeDee Lamb are going to be great. Ruggs can obviously take the top off of any defense in the Tyreek Hill sort of DeSean Jackson mode. I get that. But I think what excites me about the depth of this is that we have seen in recent seasons wide receiver classes that, while there was some fanfare for the big names and those didn't work out, those day two and day three wide receivers end up being home runs. I think of in 2018, you had Calvin Ridley and DJ Moore, both on a good track, right? But you also on day two had Cortland Sutton, Michael Gallup, Christian Kirk. In 2017, the first rounders picked in the top 10, Corey Davis, Mike Williams, John Ross. Yet in day two, you had Juju Smith-Schuster, Cooper Kupp, and Curtis Samuel. 2016, a famously a bad day one with Corey Coleman, Will Fuller, Josh Doctson, and Laquon Treadwell. Well, day two, posited Michael Thomas, Boyd, and Sterling Shepard. So it's not just about day one, even though we'll debate until April 24th whether it's CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy at the top. You have to remember the other guys, Denzel Mims and LaVisca Chenault, and other names that will continue to get thrown out there might end up being the best of them all.
No, you're exactly right. And I think NFL GMs are sort of like fantasy football players when it comes to drafting quarterbacks, when it comes to drafting wide receivers. And I think this year it's a shame in a sense because there are so many good wide receivers, it's going to hurt them in the draft, right? Teams are going to say, man, I like Jerry Jeudy. They're going to say, I love Jerry Jeudy. He's really good, but I'm not going to take him with the first pick when I can get Denzel Mims in the third round, right? Yeah. Or, you know, like seriously, like you called it. You just, you know what I mean? They're going to say, yeah, I like Ruggs a lot, but man, you're telling me I got to take Ruggs with the 17th pick and I can get Chenault with the 62nd pick? I'm going to take Chenault with the second. You know what I mean? Like the way they're going to, the way NFL teams think, they, you know, they're idiots. But when it comes to the war room, the scouts usually are smart and stuff, and they'll win out. They'll know. They'll be like, listen, there's six of these speed wide receivers. We're rolling. And it's the thing, Mike, you know it. You're rolling the dice on all these kids anyways, right?
100%.
There's no guarantee that Jerry Jeudy's better than Chenault or the Chenault is better than the kid out of Wake Forest, right? Like there's, you're rolling the dice. Like they're all elite. So it's like basically, you know, you're agreeing. Like it's like fantasy football, right? Yeah, Jerry Jeudy's great, but I can get a guy as good as him in the third round. I'll wait.
I mean, think about those names. I mentioned that guy, Michael, Josh Doctson, Laquon Treadwell over Michael Thomas, who is now considered to be the best wide receiver in the league.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're exactly right. I mean, the kid Pittman, no one's even talking about him.
Yep.
Like, he's not even listed on FanDuel for odds. You know what I mean? Like, it gets up to, like T. Higgins is over under 30 and a half in the draft. And he's not going to go. I don't think he'll go that high. It'd be interesting to see how it plays out with so many good wide receivers. You know, listen, these guys are going to be taken. People, CeeDee Lamb seems to be the guy that people are looking at. And one great thing about this wide receiver class, basically teams – are going to be able to they can basically pick the type of guy you want. You know what I mean? Like you want a slot guy, you want a speed guy, you want the possession guy. What do you want? Like what type of wide receiver are you looking for? There's something for everybody in this wide receiver class. That's the thing with this class. Like, you know, a kid that people aren't really talking about that I kind of think is special. And I don't like comparing players to the same guy, to other guys just because they played at the same school. But I do see similarities between the two of them. And I noticed it like right away when I saw the kid. And I'm talking about Justin Jefferson at LSU. And he does remind me of Odell Beckham. And it's funny because if you watch LSU and you saw Jefferson, he made Burrow look good sometimes, Mike. Like, Burrow was accurate, but sometimes it was like, holy crap, man. That's like an Odell, like NFL-style catch. One-handed catches, gets open. And I'm hearing now with Jefferson, well, they wonder if he's got separation speed. Well, I don't know, dude. He had separation speed enough to get open in the fastest conference in the country in the SEC. So, you know what I mean? So I almost like him even more now that I hear this crap, because the NFL, an NFL football game, it's not a track meet. You know, speed is nice, Mike, but speed only goes so far in the NFL. Getting open, having football sense, catching a football, there's a lot to it than just being a 4-3 guy.
Yeah, plus a lot of the times that speed, if that you have that elite speed and you're not a more well-rounded player, when that starts to fade, your skills diminish and it becomes problematic. You know, you just have to look at the careers of Larry Fitzgerald and Jerry Rice, who didn't run in the 4.4s, and they lasted forever being able to get open and make catches and run the proper routes. I think you're right in terms of being able to pick and choose what you want. I think somebody like the Jets, with where they sit at the board, are going to be a really interesting case because they have desperate need at wide receiver, but perhaps an even more desperate need at offensive line. So are they the team that we love Jerry Jeudy and CeeDee Lamb, but we have a bigger need here. We'll try to get somebody else in the second round. As far as Justin Jefferson is concerned, Ja'Marr Chase is the one that put up better numbers, but I think when you're watching those LSU games, Jefferson jumps off the screen as a better prototype NFL wide receiver, right? And what he ran at the combine, while it wasn't in the 4.3s, was plenty fast for somebody with his skill set and his size. And I've seen him creep up draft boards and mock draft boards recently. So I do think that he could conceivably be a first round guy that people are going to be happy with.
You know, a team that he's being connected with is actually a local team. It's the local team and the New Orleans Saints. And they definitely do need something. It sounds crazy. You think, oh, the Saints don't need a wide receiver. Oh, they need a wide receiver, Mike. You can't just throw to Mike
Sanders.
You can't. Yeah.
But he's older.
Yeah, exactly. And you can't just throw. You can't just throw to Michael Thomas like 22 times a game. It works in a regular season. You see, it doesn't work in the playoffs, bro. Teams just double and triple team them. They know who you're going to throw to Tre'Quan Smith. Emmanuel Sanders is good. But the guy, what's his name? Joe Hale. He was with the Saints before, right? It's like the same system. He's a local kid. All right, get on the grid. We'll take a quick break. Right back with Mike Blewett.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get on the grid, sports grid. It's Morenci Unfiltered. We're throwing it down with Mike Blewett, talking about the wide receiver class. As me and Cam really got into detail with this, as far as all the props are concerned, that's what highlights this draft. The wide receivers, no one's really talking about the running backs, but there's some good running backs in this draft as well, Mike.
Hell yeah, you got a few guys in there that you'd love to have. What but it's also coinciding with a free agency market that has ultimately completely collapsed around the running backs. We've seen signs of this in years past, but we did see Saquon Barkley get drafted high. We saw Zeke get a big extension, and now we've seen that market
collapse.
And I hate
to admit it. I hate to admit it because I'm a running back guy, and I do believe in the importance. I think you do need a good running back. But what has Zeke done for the Cowboys?
Oh, I mean, he capped them out is what he did.
Yeah, like what has Saquon Barkley done for the Giants?
They lost a corner. And they lost a corner and can't sign their quarterback to a long-term deal because they extended the running back and their linebacker in Jalen Smith. But Barkley hasn't done anything.
Smith is good, but I'm just stating, like,
they're great athletes. They're great running backs.
Yeah, like you take up all that money and you really can. Like, to me, and I hate to admit it because, like I said, most of my favorite players are running backs. And I do believe, I'm not one of these guys that running backs don't matter. But the thing is, you got to be smart with your running backs. Like, I would rather have a guy like Damian Williams on the Chiefs, you know what I mean, for like $8 million, $7 million a year than pay Elliott $15 or $17 million a year. Like, it gets back to what we were talking about earlier.
That's
right?
Exactly,
like,
the point.
You know, like, if you only have, like, listen, like, Saquon Barkley's awesome. Like, he's really awesome. And there's not a lot of people that I've seen live where I'm like, oh my God. Right. Like, and I did that. I've seen Saquon play and I was like, holy crap. He is like Barry Sanders. But when you're one guy and you're a running back and you're on a bad team, it doesn't matter. Like, Saquon has zero impact on games. You know what I mean? Like, he makes a play every now and then. Now, listen, I don't think they get on the ball properly. He was hurt this past year. So this isn't a rip on him, but winning teams really aren't built on taking running back second overall in the draft.
No. And, you know, we have other instances where I could look, I'm a Steelers fan, and you and I have talked about this before. But when you look back at Le'Veon Bell's tenure with the Steelers, it was largely unsuccessful. They could never get him and Ben and Antonio Brown healthy on the field during a playoff run at any moment. They just could never do it. Because Bell was seeing so many carries. He was banged up by the time you'd get to December and January. Perhaps that's the team's fault. But then when it came to the business of giving him a large extension, they knew that that wasn't the way to go. You're talking about Barkley, Elliott, and others. The sad part for Melvin Gordon is that his best deal, he left on the table.
Yeah.
He was with the Chargers, and now he's with the Broncos at a discount rate. But as far as these running backs are concerned, Swift, I've talked to Emory Hunt and other people that, and Joe Lisi and other people that are very knowledgeable about these draft prospects. And Joe Lisi in particular thinks that Swift is more talented than all the other Georgia backs that have come through there, Gurley and Michelle and everybody else. So DeAndre Swift, clearly a good dual threat player. Jonathan Taylor running that 4.39, super impressive at his size. And you go down the list to my guy from BC, AJ Dillon. That could be pretty interesting. At 247 pounds, he runs in the low fives. He could be a day two, day three back that plays the Damian Williams role for a really good team. And you're not paying him top dollar to do it.
What about your guy, AJ Dillon?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's the guy that I think
is he the big sleeper as far as this? Like, look, he's 60. He's not going to be the first running back taken.
No,
the props are DeAndre Swift is -175. Jonathan Taylor is +155. Dobbins is 7-1. Hilaire is 32-1. Dillon 60-1. Zach Moss 75-1. I got to tell you, man, do you think Dillon translates into like a solid NFL back?
So I'll compare him in a couple of ways. You had Andre Williams about 6 or 7 years ago coming out of BC that had a 2,000-yard season. He was a top-five Heisman guy. And I would have told you coming out of that draft that I didn't think he was going to last long. I thought he ran too high. He wasn't versatile, and he took a lot of hits. And he ultimately had a short career. We saw him this year in the XFL. I'll say this with Dillon. He's certainly a more athletic back than was Andre Williams. He's big right now at 247 pounds, but I'm not comparing him to Le'Veon Bell. But Le'Veon Bell played at Michigan State at 240 pounds. When he came into the NFL, he lost about 15 pounds, and we saw almost a whole new running back. I think Dylan hasn't caught a lot of passes at BC because they just didn't throw it to him. I think he could be more versatile, and I think somebody could get a steal in the mid rounds there for Dylan.
You know, a player, and listen, as a Michigan fan, I can tell you all too painfully, the kid was pretty much unstoppable. Is J.K. Dobbins?
Yeah.
Like, this kid can play. Over 2,000 yards, 7 yards a carry. He's the real deal. And I say this, like I said, as a Michigan fan, so it's almost painful. But if you're looking for NFL production right now, Ohio State's kind of your place to go. Yeah. Right? Like, Ohio State's taking over the National Football League right now.
Yeah.
Like, their bus, they don't have a lot of bus, to be honest. You know what I mean? Like, there's not a lot of guys where it's like, he was only good in college. He's exposed now. It's like, nah, they almost get better in the NFL.
You've got all pros at every position. Zeke and Mike Thomas and Terry McLaurin, a really good rookie out of Ohio State this past season. So they're skill players. Look, there's
– think of all the defensive backs they've produced over the last few years.
And they've got another one coming in top five, top six.
The Bosa brothers.
Yeah. Yeah. Chase Young and Jeff Okuda are going to be two top 10 defenders this year. There's only the sad part for the rest of college.
I think Okuda will go third overall. I think he goes to the Lions if they don't trade.
He could. Yeah. So there's only about six teams or so in college football that can really compete with one another and for the national championship solely based on how athletic the players are. And Ohio State is one of them. It's Clemson, it's Bama, it's LSU. You can throw Oklahoma and Ohio State in there, and there's a lot of other teams trailing them after that. Maybe throw in Georgia as well. But, you know, you as a Michigan fan, at some point you just realize you look at the field and the athletes on the Ohio State side of the ball are much better top to bottom than Michigan's. It isn't really Harbaugh's fault. It's just the way it's worked out now.
And no, it isn't. It isn't.
Teams. Yeah, there's a few teams that are going to – yeah, there's a few teams that are about pros every year, and Ohio State is one of them.
A couple of years ago, Michigan had 13 players drafted.
Yeah.
Right? It was actually 2 years ago, and he's had a hard time since then keeping up to that level.
Yeah.
And Urban Meyer's a jerk, but you've got to respect his football acumen. And basically, he said the same thing about Michigan State. It was this year. And Ohio State and Michigan State were playing, and he said, I got to be honest with you. And he said, I was looking at Michigan State game tape this year, and he goes, this is nowhere near the program, man. This is nowhere near the program that I used to coach against. And he basically stated, I used to coach against Le'Veon Bell and Kirk Cousins, right?
Yeah.
Like, he was bringing up, he was rattling off the Plaxico Burress, and he's rattling off, like, these NFL names and stuff of Michigan State players, and he's like, I don't see anyone in like NFL here. And basically, he basically stated, like, that's what people don't realize in college. Like, that's the difference. Like, you just nailed it. Like, Clemson, LSU, Alabama, Ohio State, they've got NFL talent, and other teams don't. I remember, like, Marshall Faulk, and it was a pleasure working with him. I miss him working with him. I remember last year, when we were doing the shows with him, I used to talk, you know, off the air a lot and whatnot. And he was talking about how he went to the LSU-Alabama game. And he was saying about how, like, he was on the sideline. And he said, like, Alabama were bigger than some NFL teams. And he was like, the coaches that they had, he was like, seven of the coaches coached in the NFL in Alabama.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was like, they were running. He was saying, like, LSU sort of had, like, a few college schemes going and, all right, a zone this. And they had a couple of different packages. But Marshall's a high football IQ guy, as you know, right?
Of course. Yeah.
And Marshall was like, he was like, Gabe, it was unbelievable, bro. He's like, Alabama's defense is, like, rotating and doing things that NFL teams can't do. Like, they wouldn't be smart enough. You know what I mean? Like, he basically said, like, he was like, Alabama are an NFL team. He said, like, you don't have a chance against them because of the coaching. Like, you're just overwhelmed by the talent and the coaching. It's too much to deal with.
Agreed. And, like, we'll look back at this LSU season and think how amazing it was. But Alabama was right in the game with them in that Alabama-LSU game. And this is an LSU team that murdered the two teams that they played in the college football playoff. And Alabama, even in a bad season, a down season for them, Tua gets hurt. They lose two games. God forbid.
Yeah, with their backup quarterback. They take him to the
break. They were right there. They were right there with LSU. You were watching the last 5 minutes of that game. It wasn't over.
No, I was all in on Bama once they lost Tua because I was like, well, no one believes in him now, right? And I was like, that's not a place you want to be. That's like Saban thrives on that. Now, it'll be interesting to see, moving forward right now because they're coming for him right now. It's definitely Alabama still Alabama, but he's got battles on his hand now that he didn't have a couple of years ago. Georgia's really come on with the recruiting, right? Mm-hmm. So Kirby Smart just can't fully put it together yet. He was damn close and he choked. But Georgia's come on. Georgia's a power. LSU winning the title is going to be a pain in the ass for him now. He used to pluck players from Louisiana. Now there's no reason for them to leave. Now better quarterbacks are suddenly going to want to go to LSU. Before, remember, that was the void, right? That was the void. Since Jamarcus Russell and Matt Flynn, like they never really had any good quarterback play. And I brought that up. I was one of the people that brought that up for years, actually, in which people talked about Alabama. And I said, if you look at Alabama and LSU, like in the NFL, who's been more successful? LSU. Like, even though LSU, Mike, hasn't won a title in forever, like, since this year when they finally won, they were still a football factory. Like, we just talked about Ohio State, like, off the top of my head, even LSU, like Jarvis Landry, Odell. Yeah,
a dozen to 15 NFL prospects every year, even losing four games because they got no quarterback play.
Exactly.
Throughout the second half of the Les Miles era, years of no quarterback play, and obviously you see what happens when Joe Burrow does it. The one thing I would say about Alabama is that even though these other two programs and potentially more in Florida are gaining ground on Bama, they still have an incredible thread of very productive defensive players. Their defense knocks out. Their defensive line is really, really good job on the O-line as well. And just the stockpile of depth of quality defensive players that they have at Alabama consistently is really amazing.
It really is. And that's the one thing that's fascinating, man, about football is just how good these kids are, like these quarterbacks. I saw some kid the other day throw it 73 yards. literally, like he's in high school still. Like he threw it seven, like they're like, yeah, I saw the video. I wish I could get his name here. I'm trying to find it quickly. He's still young, though. Is he 21 class? Let's see. What's the kid's name? I got to get the kids. I'll get you the video. I'll get it for the podcast. It's on my Twitter.
Yeah.
But the kid throws it 73 yards. You know what I mean? Like a missile. Like a missile. And think, we've forgotten about the Trevor Lawrence hype and all that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, right, in the NFL, nice. I mean, people have forgotten about him because, it was Joe Burrow, but Trevor Lawrence's time is around the corner now, too.
And which team do you think is positioning itself to tank for Trevor? It was tank for Tua, and Tua isn't even going to be the first pick anymore. Now it's tank for Trevor. Which teams do you think are in the position to tank?
That's a good question.
Bring it all down to the studs.
Are you buying in that the Patriots are waving the flag?
No. I don't think they can lose that many games.
Even if he tried. I know, because I've seen people say that. I've seen it out there. They're going to tank, and they're going to get Lawrence or whatever. And they're going to reload.
I think they'll be a playoff team, potentially.
I don't know. Who's the worst team in the NFL? I'd say, the Detroit Lions.
That would be interesting to watch them try to do that with the salary that they have at the QB position.
No, I don't know. I'm just thinking off the top of my Jacksonville, yeah, good call. So Jacksonville, the Bengals already have their guy. The Giants already have their guy. The Dolphins could have their guy already. The Jets have a quarterback already. Carolina has a quarterback. Detroit's at the bottom there. Do they run the Raiders? But the Raiders aren't going to lose that many games either.
They won't lose them.
No, like, that's a good question.
They've,
like,
done a pretty good job, this free agency.
Like, off the top of my head, like, who's the worst? You say Jacksonville's the worst team in the NFL?
I think they're approaching that. You know, because you have Arizona's on the rise. I think, you know, teams that are on a,
I just think that little
still,
of Matt Patricia. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You're not wrong. You and I are not far apart on that. I'm not a defender. I think, you know, they're doing everything they can to build up this Patriots culture in the Midwest, and it ain't working right now. You just had Darius Slay hammer him on the way out. He's trying to bring in these ex-Patriots guys as if it's going to fix it. They need to win games, and Stafford was hurt, right? So maybe that got them to 6 wins, but did you think that if Matt Stafford was healthy the whole year that they were going to win 8 games?
Stafford,
I didn't think that.
Stafford hates him. Like, the team hates him. He's a horrible coach. And I think they really could be maybe potentially the worst team in the NFL, as crazy as it sounds. I guess it's not that crazy. It's the Detroit Lions we're talking about.
One playoff win in the Super Bowl era.
Mike, blow it. Thanks, Mike.
All right, buddy.
Get on the grid, sports grid.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car look in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.